Over the weekend, we had a community retreat. Some of you were there. And we focused on the eyes of the heart, on opening the eyes of our hearts, or having the eyes of our hearts opened. It was a fruitful theme to reflect on, because this is something we have to do all the time. Shift our way of seeing from our natural worldly way of seeing to a supernatural faith way of seeing. And I think we all know that this is the challenge, because it's very easy to see things from a natural perspective because it comes naturally to us. And it's a challenge for us to see with the eyes of the heart, or to see through the lens of faith. Well, yesterday's readings, I thought, were a great reinforcement of that teaching, or of that issue of seeing with the eyes of the heart, because the widow in the parable yesterday was praying and praying and praying, meaning she was pleading with this unjust judge. So in her, and Jesus said, that's what it's like to be praying to the Father. What a strange comparison, to think that children of the Father, speaking and crying out to the Father who loves us, are like a helpless, poor widow crying out to an unjust judge. But that's a great way of comparing what it looks like to our natural eyes and what it looks like to the eyes of faith. Because with natural eyes, sure, we look helpless, and corrupt government, and things breaking down everywhere, and nothing is happening, and we pray and nothing happens, and that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like to our natural eyes. But if we can see with eyes of faith, we realize, even though we might have corruption and breakdown and problems in life and inflation, that's all true, and we can see it with our natural eyes. But if we see with eyes of faith, we see that deeper than that, we are children of our Father who loves us and who hears our prayers and who provides for us what we need. In fact, he's already providing for us even before we ask him. So eyes of faith can see that. Natural eyes cannot. And then yesterday, we had that great image in the first reading of the battle with Amalek. And there's Joshua fighting, swords and shields and, the natural matters of battle. And sometimes he's winning and sometimes he's losing. And it looks to him... Now, Joshua knew that Moses was praying on the mountaintop, but he wasn't looking up at the mountaintop all the time. He's dealing with the battle. So naturally, what he has in his mind is, who's getting the better of the fight here? And what do I do? What strategy can I use? And how do I fight harder? How am I going to beat this guy? That's what he's thinking. And that's what he sees. And he has to do that. But if we see the bigger picture, we see Moses up there on the mountain. And when Moses prays, Joshua wins. And that was the whole story. So the eyes of faith give us the bigger perspective, and they reveal to us what God is doing, which we cannot see with our natural vision. Now, with that little background, since I'm preoccupied with that theme, this was our retreat, we can look at today's readings. And St. Paul says something quite striking here. He is making the comparison between what our life was like what our life is like when we're living according to the flesh, when we're enslaved to the flesh and we're seeing with worldly eyes. We're dead, dead in transgressions and sins. And then along comes God, who is rich in mercy, and he decides to save us while we are still in that condition. This is the thing that Paul is always telling us. It's not because we became good people and God said, I'm going to reward these good people. No, we're a mess. And God says, I love these messed up people. I'm going to save them. And this is the line that's jumped out at me. God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus. Now, do you see yourselves seated in the heavens with Christ Jesus? Most of us think we're sitting in a chapel in Corning. And, it's cold morning and, we have work to do and there's problems and bad news and there's a war going on. And we're not thinking that we have been raised up with him and seated with him in the heavens. So Paul is speaking as if what we think of as a future event has already happened. That's what the eyes of faith see. You can't see that. You know, look as hard as you want to. You're not going to see angels and throne of God and being seated in the heavens. But with eyes of faith, we can see it, because this is actually the truth. This has already been given. Christ has already saved us. We are already in heaven in Christ. It's just a matter of, you know, working out the details. But we're already there. If we're one with Christ, we're in heaven. That's the whole lesson of the ascension. When Jesus went up to heaven, he brought humanity to heaven. He brought us there already. So that's the vision. Now, that can help us understand why Jesus, when some guy comes along and says, "Help me with my dispute with my brother over the inheritance," you can see why Jesus backs off and says, "Why drag me down into that mess?" You know this gospel. The guy comes and says, "Tell my brother to share the inheritance," and Jesus says, "Well, who appointed me as the judge and arbitrator? Like, why would I drag my union with the Father down into something that's not all that important anyway?" Now, it doesn't mean that he doesn't care about justice. He does. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't work for justice. We should. So it's not a bad request to try to get our brother to share our inheritance. I mean, that's not a sin. But it's not the most important thing either. You know, with natural eyes, we say, well, the most important thing is that I get my fair share. With supernatural eyes, with eyes of faith, we say, well, the most important thing is that I love, and that I receive the love of God, and I become a channel of love for others. Even my brother who's cheating me, even that guy is the one I have to love. So if I can see that way, then I can get the relative perspective. I get the relative importance of the inheritance. Yes, it's good if we get a fair share, but even if we don't, okay, I'm not going to get all bent out of shape about a couple of bucks when, in fact, when I die, that's not going to mean anything at all. So why should it mean everything now? So I'm just saying, this is why Jesus refuses to take the position of an earthly judge. Now, the man who asked this probably had been hearing Jesus talk about the Son of Man coming in power and the Son of Man reigning and, respect who is going to come with his angels. He probably recognized Jesus is a judge. He is someone with power and with wisdom, and he can solve problems. And he probably said, here's a wise man. Here's someone who can solve my problem. Let me present this problem to him. What did the guy feel when Jesus said, I'm not going to get into that? So what is this? What good is a wise, just ruler? What good is it if he can't solve these earthly problems? And that's what we think. Well, here we are. How many problems do we have? And it's as if God isn't solving them all. Well, what good is that to us? That's how we react. Then Jesus tells this great parable. Okay, the guy he's a rich man, bountiful harvest, more than he can possibly store. He doesn't know what to do with it all. He's sitting on a pile of money and a big pile of goods. He says, okay, I'll just build a bigger store, a bigger warehouse. Great worldly answer. It makes perfect worldly sense. You got a lot of stuff, you got to keep it safe, build a bigger warehouse, hire a couple security guards, you've got it made. That's, it makes some sense. It's not crazy, it's not even wrong, but it's lack of perspective. What good is that warehouse going to do, you or anybody, when you die? Well, yeah, good question. I mean, and we all know that. But we all know, can't take it with you. We all know that there's only so much we can use and do in this life. And we're right to save. We're right to be prudent with our use of our worldly goods. We're right to designate what, right use of whatever few possessions we might have. That's important. But then let's get on with what's more important. So that's why the Lord says to this man in the parable, "You fool. You're a fool." Now, it happens that this man's going to die that very night. But even if he wasn't going to die that very night, even if he did live for years eating, drinking, and being merry, he would still be a fool. You see, it's not the fact that we die tomorrow that changes everything. It's the fact that we die at all and that we have an eternal life to look forward to. That's what changes our perspective. In a certain sense, it doesn't matter when we die. If it's going to be today or 30 years from now or 50 years from now, well, it doesn't really change anything. Because we're either seeing that we are called to eternal life, or we're not seeing it. We either have our eyes open, the eyes of our hearts open, or we're blind. We're either wise or we're foolish. Whenever we're going to die. So that's what the Lord, in concluding the parable, says, look, this is how it will be for one who stores up treasure for himself, that's the fool, but is not rich in what matters to God. Telling us, be rich in what matters to God. Of course, that's real richness. That's what it means to be truly blessed. That's what it means to have the eyes of our hearts open, to have faith, is to see that we are already rich because of what God has already done for us. In fact, we're already in heaven in Christ. In our union with Christ, we're already in heaven. So what else do we need? That's the perspective of faith. And it's an absolute treasure to have that perspective.